from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Gearing up for a joint practice between the Bills and the Steelers today ahead of their preseason game, which will be Saturday. Jeremy White, Joe DiBiase, and Sal Capaccio. Sal on the Western Hotline. Before we get to that, I want to let you know, of course, it's still golf season. There's time. You can enroll and try and win the Friday foursome. Encore Golf, Labatt, and WGR Sports Radio 550. Every Friday, we announce a lucky winner who will get to experience the excitement of playing one of Western New York's finest golf courses, Seneca Hickory Stick Golf Course, Lockport Country Club, Diamond Hawk Golf Course, Clover Bank Country Club. Plus, you receive a box of Encore Golf Balls, a $25 gift certificate to Encore Golf, plus a one-year basic membership to Club Encore. Enter WGR550.com for your chance to win. Brought to you by Labatt, Pristine Refreshing Pilsner. Please enjoy responsibly. And Encore Golf, you just became a better golfer. Must be 21 plus to enter. With that, Sal, was there any golf happening yesterday for the assembled Bills media down in Pittsburgh? There's some nice courses down there.
No golf yesterday. Not much time for that. Who knows? Maybe tomorrow, I guess. But got to bring your clubs, too, and all that kind of stuff. So there's a Top Golf here as well. I think that's happening Friday for in some capacity. So, We'll see. But Oakmont's pretty close by. That is where the U.S. Open is next year.
Yeah. Oakmont. If you want to shoot a 150, go try Oakmont. I heard you, Sal, yesterday mention that Paul Skeens is pitching tomorrow, and then Springsteen in Pittsburgh?
That's tonight. Springsteen is tonight.
Springsteen.
Yeah.
Have you seen Springsteen live?
I have seen Springsteen live. I saw him in Tampa maybe 20 years ago, a little more. Like, it was literally like early 2000s, maybe even late 90s. I don't remember exactly when, but it was a fantastic show. He went for 3 straight hours, did not stop, and I believe he's still doing it like that.
Yeah. All right, Sal, so we got a preseason practice on the way, a joint practice tonight, a game coming up on Saturday. The big news, I guess, for the Bills, the report that they worked out another receiver. And the receiver room is going through a bunch of injuries. Of course, Chase Claypool, that news came down this week. Deion Kane, Damir Bird. What do you make of the Bills working out Corey Davis?
They're still searching for more at wide receiver. That's what I get out of it. I mean, you think about what they've done here over the last, 72 hours or so. They've brought in 2 receivers. They've worked out another. Chase Claypool was put on IR. It just feels to me like they're still trying to sort that position out, that they're not set. They don't, You know, they're not comfortable with everything they have. They want more options. And whether that's at the top, at the bottom, you know, I guess, you know, you'd have to say more at the bottom. Like, I think your top four are pretty much set. You're not bringing guys over top of them right now. You're not making these trades for big names. You're not in on Brandon Ayuk or anything like that. But it feels to me like they're still searching for something after maybe their top four, and including, you know, return ability, not necessarily with Corey Davis, but, you know, with the guys they brought in as well.
Yeah. So, okay, the idea of these guys, this is not, you think it's more than just camp body? It's MVS and Shavers, these guys, their positions are not secured.
That's correct. I don't think it's just camp bodies. I don't think they do that. You know, just you don't just bring in guys just because you bring in guys. Yes, you need people to play. There's no doubt about that. But I think that you target guys for specific reasons. You know, what are you looking for? You're looking for more speed. You're looking for returnability. In the case of Corey Davis, I mean, yeah, I mean, we know the Bills are kind of trying to unturn every stone. That was with Claypool this year. That's Gable Steveson, right? Guys like that. You know, Corey Davis, hey, he wants to play. We'll see what he's got. So, you know, I don't think they're going to waste, they're not going to waste a roster spot in time bringing a guy, if they were to sign him, to come in out of retirement, mm-hmm. if they don't actually want to give him a legitimate shot to try and make the club.
Doesn't he kind of feel more like, Sal, the replacement in the room, or maybe the way to put it would be like the replacement in the competition for Chase Claypool? Like, I don't know that he's as fast as Claypool, but he was drafted, you know, fifth overall. I mean, that's even a lot higher than Claypool was, but you know what I mean? Like, he's had a couple big seasons, not a bunch. He's had like two big seasons in his career, which is kind of like Claypool. And you're thinking, all right, once there was a great prospect here, let me see if I can take a flyer on him. And that's if they sign him. They haven't done that yet. And see if I can get lucky where he realizes his potential. Isn't that kind of the same type of mindset with it?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I mean, look, I think there's a belief here, and there always has been, that, you know, you come here and we can, you know, turn you into the best version of yourself, right? I mean, that's what the Bills talk about all the time, which is maybe it didn't work out here or there, but it can work out, or in this A and B, but it can work out here in Buffalo. And I think there's a belief in that. It doesn't mean that you think that you have all the magical secrets, and that's not what I'm saying. But a guy like Andy Isabella, I remember them talking about that way, which is, hey, didn't work out for him where he was, but doesn't mean it can't in Buffalo, right? Same with KJ Hamler, didn't work out. These are guys that were just second round picks not long ago. Hey, whatever the circumstance was there, you know, we think that it could be better here. It could be a better fit. If it is, it is. If it's not, it's not. But we're going to try to make it as best fit, try to make, you know, the environment here could be lead to that person being the best version of themselves, you know, on and off the field. So, yeah. And as far as your question, Jeremy, about, you know, the two guys, MVS, Shavers, like, are they on the team? I still think that, like, those spots are tentative. Like, I think there's four. I think then after that, you have MVS and Shavers, who are, to me, I would put, you know, on the team right now. But I don't think that there's any lock at all. And I think the next, you know, 2.5 weeks will sort all that out.
Should Bills fans be worried about that to a degree? I mean, Shavers is not one that we would have normally expected to make the team. And MVS was a late add. I don't know, Sal. Like, at one point we looked at it and said 14 receivers. There's a lot of depth or a lot of ideas. And, you know, for it to be mid-August and they don't like anybody outside of the, you know, the guys at the top, it doesn't mean it has to be a problem by the time we get to the regular season, but do you think there should be right. any concern there?
Sure. I mean, I think that the concern would be what your depth is, right? Like, if you're still searching for what you have. But I don't know, and I haven't done the digging on this, but I bet in some capacity most teams go through this anyway at the bottom of their depth chart at wide receiver or another position. Maybe some teams have a pretty clear understanding, but I'm guessing there's a lot of that that goes on, which is, hey, we have 3-4 guys. After that, we're kind of not sure. We're creating competition, and we'll see. And, you know, if the Bills are unsure, I mean, really, does it come into play until you need those players to play, which at some point you probably will. You have injuries that they happen. There's no doubt about that. But I doubt that every team in the league, you know, there's probably the majority of teams. You wake up every day and you see this team is signing this guy. They're trading for this guy. They're working out this guy because they're always trying to churn the bottom of their roster to find those last few depth pieces that might be able to play better than someone else they have.
Josh Allen says he's looking forward to this. Sal, as you remember joint practices in the past, I mean, the last time they did this was Carolina. Just how live is it compared to 11-on-11 for a normal Bills training camp practice?
I mean, it's a normal practice. It's just guy's wearing the other colored helmet, right? And then the other helmet instead of your helmet you're going against, right? I mean, I think everybody, and I heard you guys are talking about the fights and stuff like that. Like, look, those are the things that get headlines, and they suck. And you don't want to have you go through that. That's not what the majority of joint practices, that's not what happens. The majority of joint practices around the league, there's not fights every play. There's people getting work done. And if I remember correctly, guys, in 2019, I don't remember one fight over 2 days. There might have been some pushing and shoving that went on. That's going to happen. I think that there may be a scuffle or two, a little bit here or there. There was nothing that stands out in my mind over 2 days in Carolina. I think it's really good work. I think that as long as you have two organizations that have mutual respect for one another and two coaches that do, you kind of have to set parameters. And sure, guys, you can't control everything they do at all times. I get all that. But I think that you can get some serious good work in. Like, you're going against every day, right? You think about this, for example. Let's say Kyer Elam. Kyer Elam is going every day against Keon Coleman and Khalil Shakir and Curtis Samuel. Well, today, he's going to go against George Pickens on a one-on-one. I mean, that's great for him. He gets a chance to go against another receiver who's really good. You know, they get to go against TJ Watt in one-on-ones pass rush drill. You get to put your guys in position of, okay, Coach Tomlin, Coach McDermott, what do you want to do here? Hey, let's do 10 red zone plays. Great. Okay, we're going to set up. We're going to do 10 plays red zone, or, you know, we're going to go red zone period here and see if you can score. You can put your guys in those positions, and then you can even say, like, hey, Coach, I'm going to face this particular defense in week number whatever. Can you use your scout team to play this defense against my starters? That is why it's so valuable to be able to do this against another team, to do things like that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Sal, and we had Andrew Filippone on last hour, and I guess he kind of answered this a little bit. He said that he's heard that they're going to do a lot of kickoff stuff today, and maybe more of what they'll do in the regular season versus what they did in their preseason openers. Because I was going to ask you, like, how much would teams hide things in a joint practice compared to a preseason? But I guess as you think about it, you know, you only have one team that's not on your schedule that's viewing everything. So I would probably think you would show a lot more than you would in your preseason for, like, what you actually are going to run when the season begins.
It's a great question. Bulldog asked me kind of the same thing yesterday, and I would say you're probably going to run more of that stuff, but I don't know how much more, right? There's still media there, right, from both sides. And there's the NFL is just a world of paranoia. You guys know that, right? I mean, you still want to be careful on what you're showing, what you're not showing. I would say they're probably going to work more on those kinds of things. They're probably going to do a little bit more in, hey, this is how we kind of want to do this. Can we do this here? Let's try it. But I'm not really sure. Like, it's great. It's great info from Andrew. I don't know that. I don't have a practice schedule in front of me. I don't know exactly what they're going to do. Interpretation of all these things and anticipation, I should say, would be you're going to get your normal, you know, some 11 on 11, some, you know, pass, some 7 on 7. You'll get some special teams work in. And yeah, I mean, all that stuff's going to matter. If they do a little bit more kickoff, it would not surprise me whatsoever, because I'm quite sure both teams would say, we still got to figure this out and see how we want to kind of handle this situation.
Who on Pittsburgh are you most interested to see today?
Is Russell Wilson practicing? I think he is, right? He's back. I think they missed a little bit.
He was back.
Fields and Wilson.
Yeah. I don't know that he was doing everything, but he was back at least in some capacity, I saw. Yeah.
Yeah. The quarterbacks there, the quarterback situation.
Mm-hmm.
George Pickens, you know, guys that, they get Watt, you know, so I would say those are the guys I'll be watching. I'm more watching for probably the one-on-ones are going to, you know, because I think that's where you can really, you know, this isn't your teammate anymore. And granted, you're going hard anyway against your teammate, and you're competitive against your teammate. But this is a different deal now. And this is a guy on the other team that you're trying to show you're better than, and he's trying to make his team. You're trying to make your team. He's trying to start. You're trying to start. And, you know, they're trying to make their living and money. And I think that's when you can get really competitive.
Yeah. Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. We talked about the return game. This is going to be a little out of left field. I don't know if you've thought about it, but we've talked about his returnability in college. And now that they're exploring for maybe other options, Demir Byrd, have you seen at all this training camp or spring or anything Keon Coleman try or been talked about as their punt returner, or do you think that is just not on the table at all?
To try Keon Coleman, you said?
Yes, because he did it last year at Florida State.
I have seen no indication whatsoever that they would do that.
Okay.
You know, I mean, like, I guess in a pinch, maybe they could, but you guys have been out at training camp practice. Like, I don't remember him taking any reps to do that, and I think you would think you would have been doing that by now.
Okay. I'm just trying to, like, right, because he did, it was talked about as something he could do, and they haven't, I hadn't seen them try it yet, but, you know, they're exploring their options. And is today the first day we're going to get to see Demir Bird and some of these other guys? So maybe we'll start to see more of an indication of what, you know, what they're going to try at punt return and kick return for the rest of the camp and preseason?
Yeah, at least this week, right? I mean, I think at least today we'll probably get an idea of what they might do on Saturday. I mean, then anything could change when they play Carolina next week. But I would say so, Joe. I mean, yeah, I the other thing about Coleman is I just don't think they want to put that much on his plate. You know, I mean, this guy, he's a rookie. He's got to play wide receiver. You think about the guys that normally return. They're just not guys who do a lot of that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I doubt that would happen. But, yeah, I think today's a day where you'll get Bird, you'll get Kane, you'll get some guys out there. We'll see what happens. I wonder if Isabella factors in this mix still, to be honest with you. You know, he's a guy that's still – he's on the depth chart. He's, I think he's second in the one area as a kick or punt return. Either way, I can't remember. You know, and I don't know if they loved what they saw last week from K.J. Hamler and Daquan Hardy. So I think Andy Isabella still has a legitimate shot.
So Capaccio from Pittsburgh. My first pick for who will fight will be Kyer Elam. Do you like the pick?
How do you categorize a fight? You gotta throw a punch?
Yeah, like
I would say even
doesn't have to be a full brawl. Just like, hey, so and so and so and so got into it. I feel like I'm just seeing Elam Pickens today as my number one pick.
I know how to categorize it. I think a fight for this context, Sal, is when other players run to it.
I love it. Elam's a good pick. He'll be feisty. There's no doubt. We've seen that before from him. We had this thing. We did a draft. The media. One night we're sitting around at the Pittsburgh pub during training camp, and a few of the media members. We were like, all right, if we're like, we're all of a sudden like we're in a bar, we're getting a big fight. Like, which Bills do we want? Like, let's do a draft. Who's coming with us? Right? Who's coming with us to the bar fight? Dark alley. It's spilling outside, and there were some fun names on there. And like the funny thing was, like Alec Anderson is a guy that like his name came up, and then literally like a day or two later, Alec Anderson got into a fight like at Bills practice. And like, yeah, see, that's the guy. I'm taking that guy. Like, there's some guys that you guys wouldn't. Like, necessarily no, unless you're around him, right? Unless you kind of you're seeing that. Like, who would think a guy like that? Ryan Vandermark, right? Like, someone like that. I think guys, there's guys in the bottom of the depth chart, offensive lineman, Kevin Jarvis. I've been told he's like a guy. He's a no nonsense kind of guy, and you know he'll get into it with you. So those are the kinds of guys you never know.
All right, Sal. Thanks. We'll be looking forward to updates from Pittsburgh later today. And, of course, the game.
All right, you got it, guys. Thanks.
Yeah,
for sure. Saturday night is the game. But, by the way, practice at 2 o'clock today, just so everybody knows, in case anybody's wondering exactly what's happening. Practice starts at 2 o'clock. We will hear from Sean McDermott at 1 p.m. He'll give us an update on, you know, injuries, anything on Matt Milano. We haven't heard anything yet. Anybody not practicing today or what the situation is as far as Saturday and, you know, if he has determined anything about who's playing, you know, in playing time on Saturday.
Yeah. Thanks, Sal.
You got it.
So one thing you really could get from this practice is the other team's media, their eyes on your team.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this maybe the last couple days of camp we were there. And if you missed it earlier, we read Greg Bedard's breakdown of Patriots and Eagles practice. Now, he's talking about the Patriots offense as a train wreck that made him question his life. That's like... That's a shortened version of what he said. A car accident, 10,000 yard stare, more sacks than completions. And I was thinking about this during training camp at the end because we are so used to Josh Allen ripping down the field. Like, oh, there's like, what happened that drive? 6 of 7, 2 whole shots into the corner and a touchdown. And you know, another sleepy day for Allen where we used to go to training camp and ask, did they have a good pass play today? Pittsburgh is a good one for this. If Allen throws it all over the Pittsburgh defense, it will sound a little different in reading the reports about it than if he throws it all over the Bills defense.
Mm-hmm.
Whether Pittsburgh has expectations or not. It's just a matter of if the Bills offense can't get anything going against the Pittsburgh defense.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a little different than, oh, they had an off day.
Right.
Because when you play your own team 4 days a week for two hours, you know, back and forth, and each side gets a win. If somebody has a bad day today, it doesn't really mean that anything is doomed. But that is one thing that is different and value is, it's almost like hiring a consultant. Let's get a bunch of Pittsburgh consultants in here. Let's see what they think of this offense. And they watch it go, and whether it's James Cook had a really crucial drop or it's so-and-so had locked up his man. Like, it's a little bit of a different tone that could come from it today.
Yeah, it could. It could. It almost could mean, feel like it means more what you hear about the starting offense today than the preseason, right?
Maybe.
They played very little, and we'll see what they play this Saturday.
But
you're gonna see tweets about how they do today against the Steelers.
Because even though they went out of their way to say how little they game planned for the Bears, which I believe, isn't today the kind of thing they are legitimately planning for? We have things we want to do against this team today. We don't have to win.
Yeah.
But we are practicing things with intent.
You're thinking it'll look more like their real offense today than what we're going to see on TV Saturday.
That is, if nothing else, that is at least a theory that I think holds up. For people that say, you can try stuff here that you wouldn't try in a game because you're not putting it on tape in the same way.
Right.
I think that's fair. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Who's your Bills fight squad? I've got Elam Dawkins and Jamarcus Ingram because he's going to throw one of his Mortal Kombat chest stunners in press coverage.
I'm going to go Spencer Brown, Josh Allen, and Ed Oliver.
By the way, Sal's question about who would you take in a bar fight? Spencer Brown's near the top.
Spencer Brown just because he's the biggest.
Yeah.
The biggest.
Largest
guy.
Person.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, him, stand next to me.
Yeah.
And just stand in front of me. That's what he does professionally. You stand here.
Yeah.
I don't want to get hurt.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, I know how to do that.
You ever watch Deadpool 2?
No.
I watched that last night for the first time, and Deadpool to the kid with the superpowers, like, you don't want to be friends with me. Go be friends with the biggest guy you can go find. So he goes and finds the biggest guy he can go find. That would be like with Spencer Brown. Like, you know, talking to Kyrie Elam. I'm talking to Kyrie Elam, like, hey, you got my back here? He's like, no, go find the biggest guy you could find. And then I look around, oh, look, who's that guy? Spencer Brown.
Yeah.
Who's like, what is he listed at? Is he like 6'8"? 350?
And he's a
That might be a lot for
And
weight.
He's a 10 RAS score.
Right, like he can...
Like a freakish athlete.
I will never forget this stat, or fact. Spencer Brown ran a quicker 3-cone drill than DK Metcalf did. That is a fact.
Yeah.
That actually happened.
Okay, some around-the-league stuff when we get back, including one NFL coach said something yesterday. It's unintentionally hilarious. He asked everyone in the room to define a word for him, and it's kind of crazy a football coach wouldn't know what this means.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, I'm gonna leave the metaphors to you guys.
Thanks.
All right, but what is a metaphor?
What's that?
What is a metaphor? Like, what's the official definition of metaphor?
A metaphor is like using something as comparison, as like an example. Right?
Okay. All right. I got it.
Saints coach Dennis Allen, unintentionally funny to say, what is a metaphor? Because
I kind of like the reporter when he asked him, like, what is a metaphor? The reporter's like, I'm sorry? Like, almost like, what are you asking me?
Who, this is an honest question, on earth uses metaphors more than a football coach? Everything they say is a metaphor.
Yeah.
When the bullets start flying, these guys are gladiators, war in the trenches.
Yeah.
That's not an actual trench.
Dan Campbell, when he talks about like pulling them under or something.
The whole sport is metaphors.
Yeah.
It's incredible. What is a metaphor? It's the thing you say like every single day.
Yeah. It's every word.
It's every word you guys talk about this game like it's a war of attrition.
Yeah.
Nonstop metaphors. He's a bowling. Actually, that's a simile. He runs like a bowling ball with knives. They used to say that about Travis Henry. Bowling ball with knives. One of my favorite scouting reports on him.
Dan Campbell doesn't actually bite people's kneecaps.
No. No, that's hyperbole. That's not quite
a metaphor. That's not a metaphor. Yeah,
you're right. It was a roller coaster of emotions. There you go. That's a metaphor.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the Saints. That's what's going on.
Least interesting team in the National Football League.
Definitely one of them.
Dennis Allen and Derek Carr.
I'm trying not
get
to
get less interesting than Derek Carr and Dennis Allen.
I'm trying not to hold that against my dynasty shares of Chris Olave. That I'm bored with the Saints.
He is like the only player on that whole football team I feel like I'm curious about. Anybody else? Once again, you know what the storyline about Saints camp again is for like the eighth year in a row?
Kamara?
No, it's how are they going to use Taysom Hill?
Oh, right.
What position is he listed at? Well, what should we do with him for fantasy? I'm sick of the Saints. But I don't even look through their schedule. I hope they're not on national TV one time this year.
That's a good question. The Saints. They're taking over.
Who wants to watch the Saints?
They're taking over the spot usually occupied by the Bears.
Yes.
Like, yeah, that's a team. Yes. That's a team over there.
They're the new Bears.
No. 803-0550 if you want to join us, and 1-888-550-2550.
Answer, by the way, they are on Monday Night Football, Week 5 at, you guessed it, Arrowhead Stadium.
Well, you know, speaking of like primetime games and all that, you know the Bills have been good for a while when I don't think I'm alone here. Could you offhand name the games that are in primetime for the Bills? It used to be, oh, wow, remember, they play on Monday night in Week 5. And now,
yeah.
Jacksonville, I had just forgotten. Like, that's right, Jacksonville's a night game.
I feel like I could get it, but I might miss one. But that's the point, isn't it? You might get one wrong. You might forget one. They've got Miami, right?
Week 2.
It's Thursday night.
Yeah.
Jacksonville, you mentioned, is... There's a weird timing with that, right? It's like 7 or 7:15?
Yeah.
So is that
it's week 3 Monday Night Football? Yep.
Okay. They play Baltimore on Sunday night?
Yep.
Houston's not primetime, right?
Correct.
I know they're all at the front. The Jets?
Yep. 4 of the first 6 games are primetime.
And okay. Is that it?
And then only one more. The Niners.
The Niners. Here on Sunday night?
Sunday after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
4 out of the first 6.
4 out of the first 6.
And then not again until week 5. Now, that doesn't include 4 o'clock starts, which are mixed in.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting their Bills games in early in case the season goes poorly? The networks?
No, I wouldn't say that.
It's probably just a coincidence.
Yeah.
It is very strange that the Houston game is the one game early on that's not in primetime.
Well, is it really that big a story outside of
here? They talked about it on ESPN every day for 2 years.
You're a Seahawks fan.
I saw the Bills and the Diggs-Bengals clip every day.
I got to see this revenge game.
I mean, I had to watch, well, I guess the quarterback, Russell Wilson, go back there.
That's true. Then again, the matchup, I think, is good enough without that angle.
Right.
It's the Texans
it's better
and
than
the
Jaguars.
Bills. Speaking of young quarterbacks, I did some, you let me know if this is embarrassing.
Okay.
I did some numbers, and I'd like to present to you a certain argument if you know, I was off yesterday. My son's getting his tonsils out. I had a little bit of time. I was looking into Jordan Love and the Packers.
Okay.
And the Packers. Because it came up again on the afternoon show, like, hey, they had a bunch of guys that didn't get 1,000 yards. Just a bunch of guys.
Yeah. Well,
that's a trigger for me. I get upset.
Uh-huh.
I'm allowed to get mad at those guys.
The Packers, I think, are your trigger right now.
A little bit of a trigger, yeah. Yes. Because they're
in general.
Because they are a lie. They're not a lie in how good they are, but they're a lie statistically.
Mm-hmm.
Because none of their receivers had really huge numbers. They spread it around. Oh, that's everybody eats. Granted, like, Jaden Reed was a rookie.
In
a very good rookie season.
And also, if you want it, Christian Watson missed half the year.
Right.
I don't know. Was he on pace for it, though?
No, he didn't have big numbers when he was in there. But anyway, this is what I wanted to look at. Because Jordan Love has been crowned. He might be the next great quarterback. And that's fine.
Yep.
I did. By the way, one more thing. The NFL going to 17 games makes this harder to do.
Oh, because you're looking at historical stuff?
I want to go first half, second half, pace.
Okay. And there's no first, second half because it's odd number of games.
So yeah. You know what I did? I just got rid of the middle game. Pittsburgh. Doesn't count for them.
Okay.
Jordan Love first 8, Jordan Love last 8.
Okay.
If you want to split Pittsburgh in the middle, I could try to do that. That seemed dumb.
Like the second half of the Steeler game?
Right. Like,
there's too much effort at that
I didn't
point.
Know how to
yeah,
do this.
Too much effort.
I didn't know how
point.
To do this. So what I did was...
First 8, second 8.
He threw for 289 in the Pittsburgh game, which is a good day. I didn't know what to do there. Anyway.
Leave it out. All right.
Jordan Love's first 8 games, he passed for 215 yards per game.
Okay. Game manager-esque, I would say.
Jordan Love's last 8 games, he passed for 268 yards per game.
Okay.
Do you know what the difference is for that over a 17-game season? It's the difference between Geno Smith and Dak Prescott. It's 3,600 yards to almost 4,600 yards. It's almost a 1,000-yard difference from the first half of the season to the second half of the season for Jordan Love.
Okay.
I mentioned this in the commercial. Jordan Love to lead the league in passing, if he had the last 8-game pace for the year, that's 45-56. He's within 100 yards of Tua.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he played at, for the second half of the season, league leader in passing yards numbers.
Yeah.
If he had done that for the whole season, like, what would Jaden Reed, what would Dobbs?
Like, oh, they would have, right. Jaden Reed would have had 1,000 yards.
They would have had much bigger numbers.
Yeah, okay.
It's another way that this is kind of, this idea of the Packers is a lie. No, they didn't do it this way. They, in the first half of the season, weren't very good. And they traded Rasul Douglas to the Bills because they thought they weren't very good.
Yes.
And then they got better, and then we looked like, wow, look at that. They didn't even really have any guys. They did have guys. They just had them for half a season. They had a passing offense that was elite from week nine
on.
It was an elite passing offense. Yeah. If you include...
Basically, the point is if Jordan Love is as good as he was in the second half of last season, they're going to have maybe 2 1,000-yard receivers.
Yeah.
Let alone 0. Yeah, no, that's a good point.
If you do the last nine games, I only did the last eight. If you do the last nine games, his pace passing was 4,607 yards.
Yeah.
Like, that is a far cry from what he did in the first eight games.
Right.
So, what are the odds on Jordan Love to lead the league in passing, by the way? We get good value there or what? Because that's a, it's a big number.
Yeah, I don't know.
4,607.
I don't know how good you're getting odds on him to actually, like, I think he's going to be one of the favorites.
Okay.
Like, he might even be above Allen for this. Here we go. Most regular season passing yards. He is, okay, now he's a little further down the list. You can get good odds. Plus 1,800.
1,800 is not bad for a guy that for the last nine games of the season, his pace would have been second in the NFL in passing yards. Only Tua had more.
Would you take him over Brock Purdy?
Sure.
That's who's above him. What about Jared Goff? Jared Goff, Brock Purdy, Joe Burrow, Tua, Dak, CJ Stroud, Patrick Mahomes. Those are the guys above him. Then Love, then Stafford, then Cousins, then Allen. That's really low for Allen.
It is. It also,
he's below Cousins, Stafford, Purdy, Love.
There are a lot of factors there.
He's got basically the same odds as Trevor Lawrence.
The schedule you play, your defense should be a factor. Like, I don't mind Cousins as an idea because the Falcons are going to play shootouts. And
yep. He also runs the ball.
Yeah, that's true. Brandon in Ithaca, as we connect with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop on the northtownkia.com, West of New York's number one Kia dealer. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, good morning, guys. I was listening earlier, and you were talking about the stat of the like them being dead last in the goal line passing. And like if you look it up, I think they're fourth in red zone touchdown percentage, and the Chiefs were 19th. So it just seems like a kind of a dumb made up stat. I don't know. Like why you pick that, you know, certain, I know you didn't pick it.
Right.
Just seems real made up to me.
Right. Part of the, thanks, Brian. For anyone who missed this earlier, Warren Sharp had it that Allen's the 32nd ranked passer in like goal to go, maybe from the five and in or something, that Allen is the worst, 32nd. Their offense does not really run well in the pass game down there.
So, do you want to know?
Of course, in the run game, they're fine. Well, with him running. Only with him running it, actually.
Yeah.
They have a not even a secret. A very obvious cheat play where Allen can get it in for them. But what that is, I guess I would say this, Brendan, like on the macro, like zooming out, do they have a problem in the red zone? No. In fact, I haven't thought they've had a problem in the red zone for a couple years. Sometimes it rears its ugly head, blah, blah, blah. But Allen is overcoming their passing offense down there. That's the thing. Like, it's a thing you're making your quarterback overcome. And if you want less on his plate than whether it's last year, the plan to get in with Damian Harris.
Yep.
Like, the plan was to have that guy be it, and then that didn't work out. So they drafted Zach Moss for this, and that didn't work out. Like, they've been wanting to get better down there.
Yep.
And still, all this that they try, it ends up like Allen's the guy that just runs it in.
I got their numbers inside the five-yard line last year. Allen last year inside the five-yard line, he attempted 17 passes. He completed 10, 7 touchdowns, 1 pick. So 17 attempts inside the five, they scored 7 touchdowns on Allen throwing. They ran the ball 35 times. And Allen, on 14 attempts, ran for 8 touchdowns. You know what their big plan was that didn't work inside the 5 last year? Was Latavius Murray.
Yeah.
He had 12 carries inside the 5-yard line, and he only scored on 4 of them. That's not a good percentage by league standards at all. And Cook only had 5 opportunities. So what will their plan be this year? Is that going to be Ray Davis getting those carries this year? Is Cook going to get more than 5? Is it going to be Ty Johnson? Because you want to talk about what didn't work last year. It was the running back, when they handed him the football inside the 5-yard line, was not getting them touchdowns.
803-0550. When we return, some NFL business. There's a big day. There's a big meeting in the league today that will potentially change the face of the league.
Time now for the business of the Bills, brought to you by Hanes Supply. From our Buffalo roots to nationwide sales and service, we are your industrial contractor supplier.
Okay, so business of the Bills. I said this will change the face of the league. That's maybe the wrong phrase, but the NFL has a big meeting today. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. The meeting is the NFL committee researching private equity's potential role in team ownership. They have their meetings today. Many of the top private equity firms are hoping to do business with the NFL. It's not clear, like, all the firms that are involved, and Sportico has this story, but it's expected this will be approved for owners to vote on later this month. And the NFL is the only league in the world that does not allow this type of investment.
Yep.
Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, MLS permit private equity funds for minority stakes. Mm-hmm. They cap the ownership percentage in each league. They must be completely passive investors without any say in team matters. But owners are basically voting on, what do you guys think? Should we allow each other to take checks for $500 million?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're totally
gonna, okay.
They're totally going to approve this.
Right? All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a vote. What do you guys think?
We still get we still get to do all, like, Jerry Jones can still call every shot he wants.
All those in favor.
But he can just get a check for $800 million for 10% if he wants.
Right. What are we voting on again, boss? We're voting on if each of us wants a check for $1 billion right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
The more interesting part of this for me, what it opens the door to, is sovereign investment funds. Because that has become a thing in the world of soccer, of course, and it has started to creep into the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the Saudi investment fund bought into the Wizards. Maybe it was them or somebody else. So that, I wonder if they'll discuss that specifically. Like, we'll allow private investment funds to buy a piece of the team. Will we let that happen from other parts of the world, or does it have to be here? Or maybe they won't make a distinction. Maybe they'll just say we're open to it all. And then we get to get into sports washing in the National Football League along with all the other sports.
I don't know if it would be the same in the NFL. Would they wash? The NFL would just be the NFL. In the golf world, they created a league and brought the stars over.
But what do they do in the Premier League? Isn't that the same thing? They buy full teams there.
Yeah, but the team, how does the team get washed in the same way? The washing is, let's go get Kevin De Bruyne to play here.
Yeah.
Versus, we just are going to make some money off of Manchester City's existence.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not the expert on this.
And we'll see. I don't know that that will actually even happen. It might just be some hedge fund from New York buys a part of the Giants.
Yeah. Okay. That's it. Nick Mendola, live from Barcelona when we get back. That's right. So, the U.S. men's national soccer team has a new coach, reportedly Mauricio Pochettino. What does that mean for U.S. soccer 2 years out of the World Cup? It's good news. I think it's, you know, going to be universally praised. Jeremy and Joe, get a break in. Howard's here, too. What are you doing here?
Meet with the boss.
Okay, all right. Are you going to come in and hang out?
No.
Are you going somewhere?
He's got to pick something when he's here. Doesn't have to be the Bills, but it's the requirement.
You want to pick which Bills are going to get in a fight today?
I saw your list. I should turn a microphone.
He forgot how to turn on a microphone. You retire and you just don't turn microphones on anymore.
I don't know. Microphone, schmicrophone. I saw your list.
Yeah.
Kyer Elam?
Oh, he's going to fight somebody today.
Why Kyer Elam?
He just likes he likes to fight.
Somebody on the defense, Ed Oliver. Somebody on the defensive line is definitely getting into a fight.
Popular pick.
All Josh likes it.
We're gonna break in. Nick Mendola on the Pochettino hire next.
If only the.
Passive investors without any say in team matters, but owners are basically voting on, what do you guys think? Should we allow each other to take checks for $500 million?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're totally
gonna, okay.
They're totally going to approve this.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a vote. What do you guys think?
We still get to do all, like, Jerry Jones can still call every shot he wants.
All those in favor.
But he can just get a check for $800 million for 10% if he wants.
Right. What are we voting on again, boss? We're voting on if each of us wants a check for $1 billion right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
The more interesting part of this for me, what it opens the door to, is sovereign investment funds. Because that has become a thing in the world of soccer, of course, and it has started to creep into the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the Saudi investment fund bought into the Wizards. Maybe it was them or somebody else. So that, I wonder if they'll discuss that specifically. Like, we'll allow private investment funds to buy a piece of the team. Will we let that happen from other parts of the world, or does it have to be here? Or maybe they won't make a distinction. Maybe they'll just say we're open to it all. And then we get to get into sports washing in the National Football League along with all the other sports.
I don't know if it would be the same in the NFL. Would they wash? The NFL would just be the NFL. In the golf world, they created a league and brought the stars over.
But what do they do in the Premier League? Isn't that the same thing? They buy full teams there.
Yeah, but the team, how does the team get washed in the same way? The washing is, let's go get Kevin De Bruyne to play here.
Yeah.
Versus, we just are going to make some money off of Manchester City's existence.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not the expert on this.
And we'll see. I don't know that that will actually even happen. It might just be some hedge fund from New York buys a part of the Giants.
Yeah. Okay. That's it. Nick Mendola, live from Barcelona when we get back. That's right. So, the U.S. men's national soccer team has a new coach, reportedly Mauricio Pochettino. What does that mean for U.S. soccer 2 years out of the World Cup? It's good news. I think it's, you know, going to be universally praised. Jeremy and Joe, get a break in. Howard's here, too. What are you doing here?
Meet with the boss.
Okay, all right. Are you going to come in and hang out?
No.
Are you going somewhere?
He's got to pick something when he's here. Doesn't have to be the Bills, but it's the requirement.
You want to pick which Bills are going to get in a fight today?
I saw your list. I should turn a microphone.
He forgot how to turn on a microphone. You retire and you just don't turn microphones on anymore.
I don't know. Microphone, schmicrophone. I saw your list.
Yeah.
Kyer Elam?
Oh, he's going to fight somebody today.
Why Kyer Elam?
He just likes, he likes to fight.
Somebody on the defense, Ed Oliver. Somebody on the defensive line is definitely getting into a fight.
Popular pick.
All Josh right. likes it.
We're going to break in. Nick Mendola on the Pochettino hire next.
If only the...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.